So part of that story is talk about really how you and I met, because I knew you as a businessman, and but I met you at church. Why don't you tell the story a little bit about how you and I met, and that really bond that relationship to even me ask you?
Yeah. So my wife and I were looking for a new church, and then we come across the church that Keith was actually going to, and I had seen Keith before, not just at the mission, but at another church many years ago. I remember seeing him, and so we start going to this church, and there wasn't very many people I could connect with there. And we were trying, and we wanted to apply ourselves in this church. So we're not just going to go and then just give up on it. So we're going to apply ourselves and get our children in a youth group. But when we were there, for whatever reason, well, I know what reasons, but, I was drawn toward you. And I said, it just, again, it's a pull. And our business sense, our perspective on our Christian walk, our perspective on our family, our perspective on our leadership and what that should look like, all of those things, I didn't know, but those were the things that would draw me to you. And so I reached out to you, and I remember one of the first phone calls that we actually had. I know where I was, and we talked probably for, I want to say, 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And it was a fantastic conversation because I related to you on so many different levels. And so that's how it happened. And then from that moment on, and it was, you know, just so many things. And it, you know, again, here we go with these intangibles.
Yeah.
It's the discernment. It's a spiritual connection between two people. And, that's the only way I could describe it. So, you know, it's magnet to steel, and whether it's me to you or me to this job or me to my wife or whatever those things are, it's God's, you know, divine intervention in our lives that points and leads and guides us to different people in our lives.
Well, I remember the Sunday that it happened. I remember you were newer at the church, and I was singing the praise group up front. And so a lot of times I'm up front and doing things. And that week, I think I was down sitting, and you were over on the other side of the chapel and came over and said, "Hey, Keith, how you doing? I'm Derek Mitchell." You just introduce yourself like a business guy would, right? And kind of said to me, "Hey, listen, I haven't connected with many people here and just wanted to introduce myself and see if there's some way we could connect. Can we go to lunch?" And we've had a friendship over lunch for many years now where we go to lunch. And really, I'd say my perspective on it was, as I had an advocate or even not even just an advocate, but somebody that I could go to lunch with, that he could tell me about his business and I could tell him a little bit about the business that I was doing at the mission, the ministry, but also business that was going on. And that here's a businessman that could say and feed into me and say, "Hey," and I felt the same way, that I could feed into you and say, "Hey, have you thought of this or that?" And what a rich time that was for us over those years, still is, right? You know, that really we became very good friends, very close. And, you know, I had mentioned to somebody one time, it may have been my wife, and said, "Listen, I know Derek owns these businesses, but man, I really wish I could get him at the mission someday." And I said, "I just don't know if that'll ever happen." And then I think I mentioned it to you at one time at lunch. I was like, "Listen, you know, I know you're in business, but man, I sure wish I could have a spot." And then you retired, and you were going into retirement in your business, and you still own your business, but you're not hands-on as
much. Day-to-day, right.
Yep. And I was like, "Man," I went to one of the lunches. We were talking about that a little bit. I said, "Derek, I wish I had a spot for you." And it's amazing how God works, though, because it's not our timing. It's His. It wasn't that you weren't working for 6 months on getting this other job. And that was all preparing this. But at the same time, I had something happen here where somebody left the job fairly quickly. There was a position. I'm like, this is prime for Derek.
Yeah. It was.
It's a people person job. Yep. Derek's a people person. And I remember talking to you, and the one question you had on the phone, you're like, "I don't have any experience in that. Are you sure?" And I said, no, it's not that you have experience. It's that you know how to deal with people and really talk to people, not just talk to them, but relate to them in your Christian walk as well. And so for me, it was like the person that was here in that position, and they were doing a good job, resigned and gave like a week or 2 week notice. And I was like, man, Derek's about ready to start another job. I'm going to call it. I mean, it was 10 minutes after I heard the resignation that I called Derek on the phone and said, Derek, would you be interested? Mm-hmm. Amazing how God works.
It is.
That if it was any other timing, that might not have worked. You might have already been a couple months into it and said, hey, listen, I feel I'm more comfortable and God's got me here. But it was that uneasiness that God had kept in your life, that spirit pricking you like, man, there's something here I'm just not sure about. I agree. I think you could have done a great job of that job and you would have done fine. You've been successful your whole life, but there was something there. And I know from our conversations over the years, you told me I have fallen in love with the mission. Mm-hmm. You know, you tell me, hey, I read those newsletter stories and I hear these stories of success. Man, I love that I'm a part of it because you're a donor, but you said, man, I wish I could be more a part of it. How God moves in people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was a donor before I ever got the job here. And so many years ago, Keith gave me a tour. He's like, hey, why don't you just take a tour of the mission? I was like, yeah, let's go. And so I don't know, it may have been after lunch, matter of fact. Yep. And when I left, I was like, wow, I got to support this place. And so the thing that resonated with me about the mission was that it's really into two parts. The mission will receive anybody that comes in, like man, woman, or child that's in desperation and needs shelter and food and clothing. The mission takes them in, and there's no questions asked. And what if they're on drugs or out or drunk? Or it's like, well, the answer is yes. I was like, okay. So it's similar to Christ feeding the 5,000. Jesus didn't pre-qualify those folks before he helped them. Amen. He helped them, period.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, I like that. And then the other part that really sold it for me was we have a life transformation program. And so our counselors, you know, go to those people and they're here just overnight. And by the way, they can stay here. We don't ask them to leave. When those people come in.
Wait, let's say that again. We don't ask them to leave. Yes.
And so it's in the community that they think that we purge people, and we don't purge.
No.
But these folks that come in and in desperate straits, they still have a TV room. They still have an outdoor space. And so when they get 3 hot meals a day, it's not just sandwiches. And so I saw what the mission was doing.
They steer the gospel too.
Yes. And so we share the gospel. And then we have this other part. It's called the Life Transformation Program. And this is where we ask those folks, hey, would you like a better chance on life? Would you want to do better? We can, you know, get you into this program. It's 12 months. And so these people come into the program, and now they have a regimen, they have counselors, they're surrounded by love, they get up in the morning a certain time, they go to breakfast a certain time, their shoes and bed are made, then they go to classes, then they have time to study. So it's very regimented, then they go to work, and so then they support the mission, and then they grow through that 12 months, and then we help them find jobs. It's very, very, very comprehensive. And I was amazed. And so the thing that got me was, it's Christian based. It's a faith based mission, and we're not just feeding people, which we should. But then in this program, it taught people how to fish, metaphorically speaking or biblically speaking.
Yeah.
These people could fish on their own, and this happens every year. Every year, these people that were desperate, homeless, and drug addicted and alcohol, now all of a sudden they got jobs and they got their life back, and they found Christ, because here we do two things. We offer help and hope. We help them with their immediate needs of shelter and food and clothing.
Yeah.
Then we offer them the hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ, Amen. Our Lord and Savior. And when that happens, we have lives transformed.
Yeah.
Life transformation program. Their lives are transformed, and it's transformed forever.
Yeah.
And so that sold me, because you're breaking those chains of addiction and abuse and neglect. And so it was clear when I left that day many years ago that I was going to support this mission. And so that's what convicted me. And I was like, because that full circle of help and it's Christian faith based. And that was it for me.
Yeah. So you come to the mission after your prayer and talking to your wife, and you said, yes, I'd like to accept that job. So what's this last year been like here at the mission for you? You were a donor before, and you saw it maybe through my eyes at our lunches, mm-hmm. where we would talk and I'd give you some stories, and you knew a little bit about the business background. But now that you've been here for a year plus, what are your thoughts about, has your opinion changed about the mission at all, or has it been strengthened? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so it's a different story when you get to see behind the scenes, right? You pull the curtains back, and I'm in operations now. I'm seeing it day to day, and all it did was affirm what I already knew. I just know a lot more details about it.
Yeah.
And this campus, in order for this to work, is very, very complex. There are so many parts that have to work in order to feed, like we did last year, 402,000 meals.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. When you house 108,000 people, this is all last year, that doesn't happen by itself. You have to have an extensive team. You have to have volunteers. You have to have donations. I mean, to make all of this work, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, it's a very complex organization. And, you know, we're celebrating next year in 2025. The mission will have been began 50 years ago. Yeah. So we've been 50 years in the city of Huntsville and helping North Alabama. And just to see where it was and to visualize that and to see what I've seen in the last year, it is an amazing operation. I mean, nothing's perfect, but there's lives being transformed here daily.
Yeah. And it's amazing. And we've had some of those stories of hope on this podcast, talking about their lives and how, boy, some of them had, you know, good Christian lives and they came up and then they fell off and then they came back here. And then there's some that didn't really even know Christ until they came here. But the stories of hope are amazing. One of the things that you're focused on right now, you and I together, is that we have a major capital campaign going on. And it's really because you talked about the numbers. We're already this year, after having a record year last year, up 25% compared to just a year ago. And I don't know if that number is going to slow down. I think with the economy and the way things are, and Huntsville is a growing city, that some of those things are happening that will also bring homeless in as well, and people that are in need and people that need a program. It's not everybody's just homeless, right? Mm-hmm. So, but you and I are working on a Hope for Tomorrow capital campaign. Talk about that just a little bit and what we're doing, really to expand even what we're doing, the big ministry we already are.
Yes. And so it's true that we're over capacity, both for men, women, and children. You know, we currently house, just on average, the average number is closer to about 30 children, 12 years and under, that live here, that are homeless with their mom. So, and the thing is that we're over capacity, and we're starting this building campaign. And it's simply going to double our capacity to house. So we're going to double our bed capacity, and it's a little bit more and a little bit less, but on average, we're going to double the capacity for the mission to house people. And just to keep it in simple terms, but you know, I'll give you a God story, and you know this, we got a large donation from a donor, and we sent out a card and said, this is our 5-year plan, some things that we were just thinking about in 5 years.
Kind of a dream, right?
Yes, a dream. Yeah. And we sent this out to all our major donors, and this is about 18 months ago. And so you were out visiting the major donors, and when at Christmas time, handing out cookies, and the donor says, hey, won't you come in for a moment? It's like, okay. And the donor said, hey, I got this card in the mail. And this was just 5 years. This is some dreams that we have. He's like, hey, I want to support this thing. And it's for the women and children. I want to support that. And I was like, okay. And she donated a very large sum of money at that very moment.
Yeah.
Well, what that caused was we have to do a plan of action now. Yeah. It's not a 5-year dream. It's today.
I hadn't even gone to the board with it yet. Right?
No.
I didn't even get approval from the board to say, yes, we're going to do this capital campaign, right?
No. And so here's the thing. You can fast forward 18 months to today. We are over capacity, both men, women, and children, and they're sleeping on the floors.
Yeah.
Well, God knew that we needed that now.
Yeah, not right? 5 or 6 years
not
from
Not 5 or 6 years ago. We needed it now. Yeah. And so now we're matching the need because God took care of it. We didn't have to forecast it or see it. God took care of us. Amen. And now he's positioned us and this capital campaign to be ready for all these folks that are coming in right now.
Yeah. And we've raised about $4 million up to that point. We've the first part of the capital campaign, we really got to raise about $6.5 million for. But the whole campaign's $10-11 million. So we've got the doubling the housing. There's other parts of the campaign too. What else are we doing?
Yes. So the other parts of that is our medical facility. We actually have a medical wing here at the mission, and where we have volunteers and doctors from our board and nurses, volunteers. And so we provide medical services to the community and to our clients here at the mission.
And a partnership with the hospital too.
Partnership with Huntsville Hospital and many others. Yeah. So part of this capital campaign is we're going to, in my estimate, about triple the size of that medical wing. And we're going to have a standalone medical clinic for the community and for our guests that we serve. That's a big part of it. And anybody that's homeless, and if you've seen them, there's a lot of medical needs.
Yes.
And so, and we do, our volunteers and our physicians, when they come here and volunteer their time, they don't just check your temperature. They're given prescriptions. They're given injections. I mean, it's real medical care. It's not just feel-good stuff. We have an eye care clinic that we didn't have 2 years ago because of gracious donors and businesses, and now we can help people with glasses. And so the medical clinic is a part of this capital campaign.
Yep.
The other third part of it is, and it is very important to have graduates from our life recovery program to succeed, is graduate housing. Graduate housing is after these people graduate our program, they are not grounded enough to be able to just be launched out and go afford $1,500 a month for a studio apartment. It's just, for many, many of them, it's just not possible. And we cannot send those folks out like that. So we have transitional housing now, but at a very small scale. But with this building campaign, we must get more rooms, more apartments, whatever it's going to be for us, so that we can let these graduates live with us, stay within our care, and let us hold them accountable and make sure that they're, you know, are you in church? Let me see your checkbook. Here's your drug test. Are you working? And we're going to hold them accountable so that we can make sure that they launch successfully back into the community.
Yeah. So a longer term transitional housing program, really, that's for our graduates. And we need, you know, between 60 and 100 of those units really to cover what we have, because our program is very successful of getting people graduated. And again, it's, we take care of all their needs during that 1 year. But that next step for them to really be able to save up enough money to function out, Huntsville's got a ton of apartments right now. They're building them all over the place. But it, like you said, it costs $1,300 to $1,500 just for a studio apartment. Mm-hmm. Well, our folks coming off of being homeless a year ago don't have that kind of money. They can do that.
That's right.
So it's a big part of our program. And so far, the campaign's being successful. And we're just kind of mentioning it now. We just kind of made it more public in the last couple months. So, but it's, you and I work on that very much. And it's exciting to see what God does, right? So some of those are stories of hope, just hearing what happens with how people are really attuned to what we're doing and saying, hey, I want to invest in that. It's really an investment that people are giving to us because they say, hey, it helps our community, helps people get back on their feet, and it really gets people right with Christ in a lot of the ways that we're helping folks. So, and I love that you're a part of that. So you've been here a year and a half, and I know you've had other things in your life. Are there any stories of hope that come to your mind that you can think of maybe not use their name, but say, you know, things that you've come in contact either here or in your own life that really became a story of hope that influenced your life or really affected who you are?
So I don't mind using a name in this one. So because, again, it's such a black and white example of God's providence and intervention in our lives. This is absolutely 100% God moving. So took the job a little over a year ago, and my daughter got married last year. And so things are going along, and his mom wasn't in his life, and so I'm here at the mission.
Her husband's.
My daughter's husband, my daughter's mother-in-law, wasn't in his life, and she'd never met him, or met her. And so what I found out was she's been on drugs, and she was living on the streets. Well, at the time, my son-in-law didn't want to say, well, she's in jail.
Yeah.
And he would just say, well, she's just not in my life. I was like, okay.
He was embarrassed.
He was.
Sure.
And so later, I got more details, and she was in jail, not in prison, but just in jail here in Huntsville. Well, what I found out was she had experience here at the mission. She had been here at the mission, and our counselors on the women's side knew her, and she had been in the program and dropped out, and so I was like, okay, well, she was going to be released this past December. And of 23. And so I started contacting some of the counselors here and her family, my son-in-law's mom and his grandmother. And so she's being released December the 22nd. And I said, hey, why don't we bring her back here? She's released. She's going to be able to come back here. And so the family worked with her, the counselors worked with probation officers, because when she was released, she was totally, you know, time served. And she showed up, I think, at 2 o'clock in the morning on December the 22nd. The family had talked her into coming back. And so I was here for that reason. One of the many reasons was to get her back here. And remember, this is almost a year ago. She graduates this November, and she is doing fantastic. She is, we go out to dinner together. We're talking about the kids. We're going to, you know, fall festivals together, and she's got her family back. She's got her son back. She had two boys, and they're back in her lives, and she has committed her life to Christ, and her life's changed forever.
Yeah.
And I don't know that would have happened if I wasn't here. Yeah. And I didn't know anything about it, but God guided me, guided her, put all our lives together like that.
Yeah.
And now she's going to be graduating. She's currently working here at the mission. She's in fourth step and doing fantastic, but she's outside and she's growing, and she's going to continue to stay here. Part of the transitional housing, she's going to take advantage of that, because she said, I'm just not ready. I'm not able to, you know, she knows, and she's been honest with herself, and the Spirit's good in her. And so that's an amazing story of God working in her life, in all of our lives.
Yeah. So here's the amazing part about that. So year plus ago, when you came on board, you knew your son-in-law, they had gotten married, right? They're about during that time. And, but you know, in God's provision, you're helping the mission in all different ways, but if it's just to help that one life, it's all worth it.
Yeah.
Just one life.
Yeah.
Because if it hadn't been that you came here, she might not have said, oh, I need to get back into the mission. But because you were now involved here, and she was like, yeah, you know what? I've been there before, and maybe I'll give it another shot. And now she's in the fourth step, ready to graduate, doing really well. Here's somebody who was in jail, drug addicted, didn't know her kids. The relationship is bound back together. She's got a relationship with Christ, and she's moving forward in a good way. Mm-hmm. But all that God brought you here for, I thought, was to help me. But it was really to maybe just help even that one person, right?
Yeah.
Because I say this all the time to the staff. We help hundreds of people. We see hundreds of lives every year go through our program that are being changed. We see thousands of people come through here that are at least hearing about Jesus because they get a hot meal or they have a bed to sleep in. But if it's just one life that changes, it's all worth it.
That's right. I totally agree. I agree.
Just one life. That's all that matters.
Yep.
Because really, we're helping a bunch more. Don't get that wrong. We want to help more than just one.
Yeah.
But it's each life is that important.
Yeah.
Because now their life is not about what we believe as Christians, that they're going to have an eternity away from God, but now the eternity is going to be in heaven with Him. Yep. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
I appreciate you being here today. I love working with you. I never all the years of us getting together once a month for lunch and serving together at church, we were on boards together mm-hmm. and worked together on a bunch of different things as volunteers, but never did I think we would get to work together. And what a blessing it's been to have my friend and of course, a hard worker and somebody that is relatable to people and that can share the message of what the hope that we provide here at the mission to the community. And I just look for great years in front of us to see really what God's got in store for us. You mentioned to me the other day, you said, you know, Keith, I came here a year ago and the mission's already different now mm-hmm. than it was just a year ago. And it's amazing to see how God works and to see the growth and things that happen. And you know, you and I talk about it all the time. It's so much of what God does that it takes away that we can ever pat ourselves on the back.
Yeah.
You know, we're the ones that are the legs and feet, but you know, the feet and the hands, I mean to say, but you know, it's really because of his wisdom and his providence over what's happening here at the mission that it continues to grow and help this community the way it does. We've had a lot of tours the last few weeks and a lot more to come, but it's amazing when we give a tour to see people's reaction to say, I never knew all the lives that are happening here that are being changed and the things that you do for the community. Just lastly, how has this last year impacted you personally?
So me coming from the private sector, that's my mindset. And so this was just a job and I enjoyed it. And so, but the thing that hit me was I've been here a few months and you said, hey, so how does it feel to be working in the ministry? And I was like, ministry? I'm working in a ministry. I thought I was working at a homeless shelter. And then but you spoke truth. And, you know, I didn't let that go. And I was like, oh my goodness. I never thought I'd be working in a church. And that's what this is, right? We're a ministry. And it changed my perspective. And I it still resonates new and fresh in my mind, working in a ministry. So, but I love it. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm actually working for God. That's the way I think of it. My simple mind, I'm employed by God. I'm doing, you know, the ministry things. It's church things. It's saving people and changing people's lives.
It's a good thing you're employed by God, because that means you and I can still stay friends, right?
That's right. So it's just it was a total mind shift for me to think like that. Yeah. And so, I'm certainly grateful to be here. I enjoy it. And, it's, you know, to see the growth of the mission and what God does here. And, you know, it's just amazing. And I don't need a lot of faith to believe this, because it happens so tangibly in front of our lives, in front of our eyes, that, you know, God is awesome.
So if somebody's out there today and this, podcast touched their heart in any way, and they're wanting to get involved in the mission in some way, volunteering, or if they'd like to donate, or even just ask, you know, for a newsletter or whatever, how can they get in touch with either you or the mission to get that to happen?
Yeah. So you can contact, obviously, the front gate or the front office, whatever phone number that is on our website. But you can contact me directly, and I'll give you my number. It's 256-694-2197, and I'll be glad to help you personally, or I can also get you to the people that you do need to be in touch with. We're easy to find. If you can get a computer or a cell phone, you can find many different ways to contact us. You can also email me at donors@downtownrescuemission.org. Pretty simple. I had somebody call this morning and contacted me, and she's like, look, I get paid at the end at November the 1st or 2nd. She's like, I want to donate $10.
Yeah.
Can you help me? And I said, yes, ma'am, I can.
Yeah.
And so, but whatever you need, everything counts. Sure. Everything counts.
Yeah. Well, and if you'd like to go to our website, it's downtownrescuemission.org, mm-hmm. and you can contact Derek through that as well. But he's one of the only guys that will give his phone number out over our podcast, which goes out to millions of people across the country. So we want to see that phone ringing off the hook. Derek, I appreciate you spending the time with us today, and thank you for being part of the Stories of Hope, because when you come to work at the mission, you have now, not only before as an investor, but now you're investing your time, and you're still a donor, which is awesome, but you're also an employee, really, I don't call them employees, really a team member here that's doing the work that God's asked you to do, and love our work together and love to see what God's going to do next. Yeah. And so, well, this has been another episode of Stories of Hope, and I'm Keith Overholt with the Downtown Rescue Mission. Thanks for joining us today.